Welcome back to Live Life and Look Good Doing It, Lifestyle Radio, part of the Chat with Women Network. I'm Carol Carini. This segment of the show is sponsored by Lakeside Collision Centre of Bellevue. Customer service is their number one priority. Named Bellevue Chamber of Commerce Small Business of the Year in 2011 and 425 Magazine 2012 Best Auto Body Shop. For a free estimate, visit lakesidecollisioncentre.com. My next guest today is Joanne Factor. Joanne has been teaching safety and self-defense for over 16 years as owner and instructor of strategic living, personal safety and self-defense training. She's taught 5-year-olds to 75-year-old students, sorority sisters, homeless women, business executives and everyone in between. She is the author of the forthcoming book, Self-Defense One-on-One, What Every Woman Absolutely Positively Needs to Know for Her Own Safety. Welcome, Joanne.
Thank you.
Joanne,
happy to be here this morning.
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm great.
Loving the weather here in Seattle.
Yes.
So, Joanne, this is this subject is really, I think about this a lot. I haven't done it, but I should. And self-defense for women is really, it should be an important part of our lives. So, give us, what are the three main benefits of a woman taking self-defense classes?
Well, for one thing, there's the obvious about you'll just have more tools to keep yourself safer. But what's really important is that students leave classes feeling just they have more confidence, that they can handle situations and they can better assess risks. And in a way, that kind of leads to more opportunities for women to do more things, do more traveling, participate more in public, and just being able to assess different opportunities just leads to more success and personal fulfillment.
Self-confidence is a really big thing.
I
watched the video on your website, and I would be running the other way definitely if you did to me what you did in the class. That was scary stuff. So tell me, can anyone at any age do this? And I said earlier, 5-year-olds to 75-year-olds. I mean, really, is this something that anybody can do?
Yes. I mean, I adjusted according to age. Obviously, the understanding of a 5-year-old is not at all the same as somebody who's 15, as somebody who's 25, as somebody who's 65. Physical skills are different. Risk assessment is different. So I adjust everything according to what they can understand. And when I talk with children, it's not just children, it's their parents also.
Right. I guess. And what about older, our older community, people in their 60s and 70s? Because they tend to get picked on a lot. There's a lot of people out there who are attacking our elderly community. And and they do that because they're an easy target. So what are some of the things that even an older person can do to protect themselves?
Well, older people, I mean, first it's important to know the dynamics of an assault. And for an older person who might not quite have the strength or the balance that they used to, more emphasis on eye contact and using your voice is really key. And then there are other things that I teach how you can adapt physical techniques, using things to support yourself, using what you have as a weapon. So if you have a heavy bag, how can you swing that? But how can you do that and still support yourself so you don't fall over?
Do you think that women should carry some sort of I'm not going to say weapon because that sounds pretty horrible, but something that they can ward off somebody if someone was attacking them, other than just using their hands? Is there something that they could use?
What I would do first, I'll say I don't carry weapons. I don't carry pepper spray. I don't carry a stun gun. I would look first to what I have. Do I have a bag I can swing? A pen makes a great weapon. A car key makes an excellent weapon. A book makes a great weapon, using it sideways right into the throat. Mm-hmm. So I don't recommend it necessarily, because if you carry a weapon, then you really need to be practicing with it.
Right.
And you really need to basically say, I am willing to use this weapon.
Right, and that's the big thing. You have to be willing. And it also could be turned against you as well.
Right, and that tends to happen more when you're carrying a weapon and you don't want to use it, you don't intend to use it, and you're just hoping that by showing it, the person will go away.
Yeah, that's true. Now, do you think women are more likely to actually give in too easily and not fight back in an attack because they really don't know what to do? Because you hear that all the time. Women, I see this all the time on the news. Women are attacked, but I think to myself, you know, I would fight back. I wouldn't let anybody do what some of these people are doing to women. But people get scared and they really have no idea what to do, and they just let it happen.
Yes, and I think that's a really important issue. A lot of women don't fight back because they have no idea what to do. But I think what's also important is that especially women who are attacked, they're attacked by somebody they know. They're attacked by somebody they kind of trusted. And the larger issue is they're too busy engaged in disbelief and denial to recognize this is what's happening. How could it be? You know, we have so many friends in common. This is my husband's poker buddy, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, that's a true statement. I think there's a lot of women out there who've had some sort of a run-in with somebody in their family or a friend or an acquaintance with something like that. You know, I've known people that have been in a situation like that where they have had like a spouse or a boyfriend or someone like that who has attacked them, and they tend to let it happen because they don't want to hurt them or they don't want to make them feel bad about what they're doing. So they just actually lay back and accept it.
Absolutely, absolutely. The FBI says that. In fact, if you're talking about sexual assault in particular, the closer the relationship between the attacker and the target, the more likely it is to be a completed rape rather than the person getting bought off.
And that just means that having the ability to be able to know what to do and fight it off, because today you find more today that people are really getting hurt and even getting killed. More so today than years ago, maybe, when you might just get a beating. And I mean, that's a horrible thing to say, but, you know, they might beat you up, but today uh-huh. they're actually doing more damage. They're doing more damage and even taking your life, which is pretty sad. And I think it's really important that we know at least how to handle ourselves and get out of the situation as soon as possible.
Yeah, it is, and I think a lot of it has to do with just a lot of more anger out there and being expressed.
So, exactly. Now, can we learn to recognize if someone is planning to assault us? I mean, if you're walking down the street and you've got someone walking towards you, what sort of things uh-huh. do we look for?
One thing I would look for is probably the most important telltale sign. Is somebody staring at you? Or do they look at you, then look away, look at you again, keep staring at you, look away? And, you know, basically, so they're basically eyeballing you, maybe not looking at your face, but kind of like looking at what target they're going to go for. Also, the most important thing, really, is not something to look for in the other person, but trust your gut feeling.
Yes.
If you're aware of what's surrounding you, there's a very, very, very good chance. And most women who have been assaulted said they felt something was wrong. They couldn't put their finger on it, but they felt something was wrong. And just trusting that gut feeling and either crossing the street or making sure to pass that person with a wide berth.
Yes. I remember when I was about, I don't know, I think it was about 13 years old, and it was sort of getting dark, and I was walking down the street going to sort of a kids, you know, teenagers sort of church event. Uh-huh. And I was walking in the middle of the road because I'm always scared of the dark. I'm a big scaredy cat when it comes to the dark. And I just had this uncomfortable feeling that someone was around me or behind me. Uh-huh. And I just kept walking faster and faster and faster. And at these uh-huh. events that I was going to, they actually did teach you to slam, like bring your foot up and slam it on their foot. Uh-huh. And then these are the only two things I know. And then bring your elbow in and put it behind you so you hit them. Uh-huh. So I'm walking down the road and someone did come up behind me and put his hands around my neck.
Oh, uh-huh.
And the only thing that I could think of at the time to do, because I'd been learning this at this little event that I was going to, was I picked my foot up, slammed it on his foot, banged him in the belly, and uh-huh. took off down the road. And I never even looked back. I don't know who it was or whatever, uh-huh. but it was because I was learning just these couple of little things at
right.
this kids sort of event that I was going to, that uh-huh. It was stuck in my head. And it wasn't, uh-huh. you know, this guy let go of my throat and I ran like you wouldn't believe. So it gave me that extra oomph. So having those tools is very important. So what are some of the most important tools each woman has to use as defense? I mean, we're talking, you know, I had the elbow and I crunched uh-huh. his foot on with mine. So what else can we do?
Okay, for physical tools, I think the heel of your palm is a great weapon, right into the face, and the fingers can go into the eyes. And another, that's probably the most commonly used self-defense strike. Another really effective one, and some people think this is their favorite, not so much for me, is a knee right into the groin.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yep. But those are really good physical tools. But I think the most important tools, though, are using your intuition and also using your voice. Mm. Your voice alone, if you use a strong voice, tell the person, stop, back off, that will deter assault half the time.
So also, last question here, should this be part of our lifestyle today?
Yeah.
I mean, things are really getting worse, you would think, or maybe it's just because we see it more on the news, but this should be really part of our lifestyle, what we're doing today to take care of ourselves and our family.
Absolutely. It absolutely should be part of it. And there's some people like Ellen Snortland in California is really advocating for that.
Right. Well, Joanne, thank you so much. You have given us a lot of great information about taking care of us and our families. And everyone, if you want to find out more about self-defense classes with Joanne, visit strategicliving.org. That's strategicliving.org. And you can talk with Joanne, and she can probably tell you what you need to do. Go and have a class with her. Joanne, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much, Carol.
Thank you. This segment was brought to you by Lakeside Collision Centre of Bellevue. Go visit Lakeside at lakesidecollisioncentre.com. That's lakesidecollisioncentre.com. We're going to take a break. After the break, we're going to talk with Tammy Neely from LifeLock, and we're going to be talking about the kids' identity safety. So stay with us, and you're listening to Live Life and Look Good Doing It, Lifestyle Radio, part of the Chat with Women Network. We'll be back shortly. Just the other night, I watched the